And wounded my head and almost took my life. I survived by God's grace. Whereas all these things happened, I tried to report, but I have never gotten justice. I have reported to police. My fellow community members have reported such violences, but nothing has been done to solve these injustices. The company is untouchable.
Welcome to Witness Radio. This has been the voice of a farmer from Chikonda. In 2018, he was beaten up by people he associates with in a foreign company. And over the years, he has witnessed many injustices, as have hundreds of other community members who have to deal with the influential of foreign investors on their land. Investors who claim hectare after hectare of fertile land for their business, be it coffee or timber plantation. We firmly believe the more rural residents know about their land rights and their right to participation and information, and the better they understand the legal procedures involved in land allocation, the more likely they are to be able to defend their own interest against the seemingly untouchable power of corporations. If you want to know more about land rights and how rural communities in Uganda are fighting for their right to secure access to land, then stay with us.
Avoid being evicted or grabbed land because you're not aware of your land rights and laws. Listen to Know Your Land and Environmental Rights program to get equipped with knowledge concerning land rights, governance, and land management in Uganda. Catch us live at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Don't miss repeat at 5 p.m. Know Your Land and Environmental Rights. Changing land narratives.
Welcome to Witness Radio Uganda. This is Know Your Land and Environmental Rights program, a space where we inform, educate, and empower communities about their land and environmental rights. I'm Stephen Mwiri, and I'll be your host for today's show. This is the second episode in our three-part audio and tutorial series focused on protecting local people's land rights against investors' interests. Just to remind you, our focus is based on the Kaweri coffee plantation in Mubende and the Kikonda tree plantation in the Chankwanzi districts, two major cases where communities were displaced to pave way for foreign investments. In our first episode, we explored the responsibilities of investment companies during land acquisition, the laws they are obliged to follow, and the duty of government to balance the investment promotion with the community protection. We also spoke with the councils Joan and Sarah, who explain land ownership laws and different land tenure systems in Uganda. Today, we turn to the real impacts, both negative and positive, and how they have shaped the lives of those who once called these lands home. Also, I want to remind you that these audio contributions are being supported by German-based organizations called SEZ and IZ3W Freiburg. And now, let's go for a short break, and when we're back, we shall hear the voices of the communities.
Do you want to learn more about the legal nitty-gritty of land laws? Benefit from our programs at Witness Radio. We will teach you how you can protect your land from land grabbers. Are you a human rights activist? Do you want the voice of the voiceless to reach the authority responsible? Tune in to the People's Radio, Witness Radio. Listen to Witness Radio addressing land issues in your community on matters of land development that do not affect the people and the environment.
Breaking the silence and elevating community voices. Witness Radio, your number one choice.
Welcome back, our dear listener, from that short break. You are still listening to Know Your Land and Environmental Rights at Witness Radio Uganda. When investors arrive in local communities, they often come bearing countless promises, development, jobs, improved lives. But for many who have lived through such investments, the story is different. For generations, the land now occupied by Kikonda Tree Plantation in Changkwanzi District was home to peaceful and self-reliant villages. It was a place where families grazed their animals on open fields, gathered firewood from communal woodlands, and healed their loved ones with medical herbs from the ancestral forest. The land was not just soil and trees, but it was life, identity, and heritage. Today, those same families stand on the edge of survival. According to testimonies from the affected communities, when investors arrived, everything changed. The promises that came with the investors have faded into silence, replaced by stories of loss, displacement, and broken livelihoods. Residents say they were stopped from entering the forest while they once collected firewood and herbal medicines, and using access roads that pass through forest plantation.
Baletanga abasirikale nga tetumanyi waje babaje katolwo kutya abantu twadukanga we bakasolinga bayika mukasolinga basa.
The workers of the company and army would attack us unannounced. They were led by one Kajula and Kakaire Sozi. They would destroy everything.
Kati abantu abo batambulanga we batyo be bakolanga omulimo ogwokwokya ogwokyanga mayumba g'abantu ezange nyumba mukaga ne bazokya
People's crops, houses. Now for me, I lost 6 houses, 40 goats, my hens and 40 cows all were killed. They wounded my future.
The water dams that had been built by the local government to serve the pastoral families were suddenly destroyed.
The government built for us a dam as a sign that we are occupants in the area and we are known by the government. But the company destroyed it when it came.
The loss was immediate and devastating. People who earned a living from farming, charcoal burning, or collecting medicinal plants saw their homes vanish overnight. For the pastoral families, the situation grew worse. Their cattle could no longer graze freely.
Whereas we, the cattle keepers, left the farm, we take our cows to graze from there. But whenever we go there, they take our cattle or goats and they demand 20,000 shillings per head, which is a challenge because we don't have where to graze from.
And some say their animals were poisoned by company workers.
When Global Woods came in this area, they used to spray the plantations with herbicides. But this happened unannounced, and we used not to know that they have sprayed. Whenever we took our cattle for grazing and they ate the grass, they would die immediately.
And they have not only poisoned animals, but continue to attack people violently, beat people, eat their food, and steal their animals.
Our goats will graze from there. They are taken and eaten by farm workers if they find them there. They even attack people. For instance, a one Kadoli Eric, he was attacked and cut seriously because they wanted to take his goods. So people are suffering, and if it's support, we urgently need it.
In Mubende, the situation is no more different. Futures were ruined and dreams were shattered. The community was left with a generation of poor, impoverished, and illiterate people. Uganda has approximately 14 million adolescents and youth aged 15 to 30, representing about 31% of the total population, according to the Uganda Bureau of Statistics, UBOS, 2024 report. UBOS also reveals that 41% of youth who are out of school are not employed, leaving millions without a stable source of livelihood, a situation that pushes many into a state of silent unemployment. In Mwibende, younger people describe their lives today with one word, hopeless. With the land gone, the few jobs that once sustained them have vanished. Their dreams of building a better future disappeared with the smoke of their demolished homes. But to some, they believed the future had not vanished. They hoped to work in company farms to try to survive their families. Sentai Freed, one of those who worked with the company, recounts a sad experience. He was robbed, paid less than what he signed for.
When things got worse after the eviction, I decided to look for what to do. I had to go to the farm to work with them. I had a verbal agreement with them to weed 1 hectare of coffee trees. And in return, I would be paid 1 million Ugandan shillings, and that they would not pay me in case I do not complete the job. What happened when I completed weeding the coffee trees? They told me to sign for money on a document. This was the process. You had to sign that you received the money before even getting it. So, for me, they did not pay the full amount. They only paid 300 Ugandan shillings for the work I did. When I demanded the full amount, they told me they would pay me later, which they did not do. Later, when I continued to demand them, they told me that they had already paid me the money, with evidence of a document that I had signed indicating that I had fully received the money. But this was not the case, because they told me I would have to first sign, and then they later take the document to their bosses to give me the full amount. But truly, they did not pay me fully, and this kind of theft was done to many people.
But also, those who have worked there allege they are poorly paid. Bukenya Yuda Tadeo narrates.
I worked in the company farm, but I didn't have a formal contract with them. I both harvest coffee as well as weed in the coffee farm, but the paycheck is poor. They always pay per coffee tree that I weed or each kilogram of coffee beans I harvest. I am paid 20 Uganda shillings for every weeded tree and 103 Uganda shillings for each harvested kilogram of coffee beans. So it depends on your energy to earn a living. But I am not proud of this job because I can't afford to take care of my family like I used to when I had my land. It's hard to live now.
And now let's go for a short break, and when we're back, we shall continue with more testimonies from the local communities.
The place is dry, and this is UNRWA paid us, paid part of those people when they are passing that interview express. But why are they not coming out today? We cannot agree with them. Let them kill us. We make it a day. Life is life, and death is death. Let us make it. It is complete. Period.
Avoid being evicted or grabbed land because you're not aware of your land rights and laws. Listen to Know Your Land and Environmental Rights program to get equipped with knowledge concerning land rights, governance, and land management in Uganda. Catch us live at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Don't miss repeat at 5 p.m. Know Your Land and Environmental Rights, changing land narratives.
In Uganda, land is a valuable resource that is necessary for everyone to survive and flourish. So it is equally crucial to comprehend the land laws and policies about its appropriate usage. To learn more, tune in to Witness Radio.
Welcome back from that short break. This is Know Your Land and Environmental Rights program, and you are still tuned in to Witness Radio. During land evictions, women and young girls bear the brunt, as they are subjected to sexual violence in all sorts. This didn't exclude the community of Changkwanzi, as one Nantongo Annette, not the real name, narrates.
Mukulima nabwe nali nga ndima ndaba basajja nga baze ngalimu omusirikale bali bayita Mukisa kubanga Mukisa ye twali nali mumanyi yali mupolisi kati Mukisa bwe yajja.
I was harvesting maize together with my husband and my children on our land that was measuring 15 acres. I saw a group of people that were coming towards our direction. This group was headed by one Mugisa who had a gun, while other men held sticks. Because of fear, everyone ran and took their direction. I ran too. But shortly, Mugisa comforted me to stop running and asking me questions like, why were you digging on the forest company land? And ordered me to sit down on the ground. Later, he brought three other women where I had seated and ordered one by one to go to bushes. When we went there, you would find men who would force you into sexual actions.
According to Witness Radio findings, more than four women were sexually humiliated by gangs hired to carry out forced evictions to pave way for Chikonda tree plantation. These attacks, according to women, left deep scars. During forced eviction, land and environmental defenders also face wrath. Those who try to stand up, who mobilize their neighbors to resist the illegal evictions, are brutally beaten or arrested. In each corner, many still carry the wounds, both physical and emotional.
Nebasiba waya nenjigwamu
olikupiki
ngandi kupiki nenjigwamu nekutuko.
I was attacked by workers of this company. They had constructed wires along the path which wounded me and injured my leg heavily.
Nayo wali wo buyambi bona kati 2018 era nenzira mu nate nentegebwa nebakuba efana nyibyo nabyo nabiwereza abami bana mpwe guno guno nebagonona nebakuba.
And in 2018, I was attacked again as I was also going home. They beat me and wounded my head and almost took my life. I survived by God's grace. Whereas all these things happened, I tried to report, but I have never gotten justice. I have reported to police, but nothing has been done to solve these injustices.
Now, without compensation or support, the displaced families struggle to rebuild their lives. Survival has become a daily fight. And the plantation that replaced their homes, residents say they have become hiding places for wrongdoers, places where women are attacked.
Naika kati, olokuba nti abantu bano tugenda yo, olumu tugenda yo na abana bafa abawala bagenda yo.
Our young girls who pass through the forests are sexually abused, so now it's insecure for us.
This is what development has meant for them: displacement, violence, and despair in the shadow of profit. Despite the negative impacts noted, there were some noted positives to the local communities, as said by the respondents. In each corner, the plantation.
They have built us boreholes and water dams in the neighboring villages. They heard our cry and acted. In Kakindu, we also had a project of buying community school land. The company also gave us 4 million to support the project. We wanted to construct a community school.
While in Kaweri, Newman Group has brought.
You see this power line, this electricity was brought by the company on purpose. It was originally going to the company offices, and people nearby were connected so they could easily access power, which used to be difficult because we didn't have it before. As a result, people have benefited, and the neighboring towns are now connected.
Kampuni ya walizi nesima na ikondo ezili ebweruwa wesamba
wesamba
wali wendele eliyao kumpyao ogiraba era bagenda bazilamba ko akubanero kaabwe.
The company has also built 3 boreholes for the neighboring communities in Kyoto, Kijunju, and Kiriniko.
So,
when all this happens, when eviction directives are ignored and the voices of the poor are silenced, the question remains, what can the aggrieved do? Should they go to court or appeal to institutions meant to protect them? In our next and final episode, will uncover how affected communities can organize, seek justice, and demand accountability from both investors and government officials, and how investors can responsibly do business without harming the intended beneficiaries. Until next time, I'm your host, Stephen Mwiri, reminding you that land is life, and protecting it is protecting our dignity, our heritage, and our future. I want to remind you that these audio contributions are being supported by German-based organizations called SEZ and IZ3W Freiburg. Bye-bye for now.